understand.
He's adjusting. Are you adjusting the temperature?
He's trying to shut off the AC, yeah.
Well, let's just get right into it.
Okay.
So what fakakta moment? I mean, you've had 33.
There have been many.
You've had 33 years of fakakta moments.
Sure.
Right? But to decide that you're going to obligate yourself to this thing that's on the T-shirt here, this dial-a-song thing.
Yeah, yeah.
What fakakta? Who woke up and said, hey, this would be a great idea? And then who woke up the next day and said, this is a really insane idea?
Right.
How did that...
I'm going to turn the mic over to Mr. Flansburgh.
Oh, well, so he's responsible.
It was my idea.
You're taking responsibility.
Well, you know, I sort of like wrangle the social media stuff for the band, and
that's
you
obvious.
Know, and when we put out albums, you know, it kind of illustrates how obsolete the notion of the album is to most people in the world. Like the way they take in culture is sort of through these kind of, you know, tiny little blasts of YouTube videos or other kind of phenomenon. Like, it's a very, you know, the world of music culture is really an extension of the world of social media at this point. And
140 character songs.
Well, I mean, it's by putting out a song every week, the nice thing is that we're sort of in people's worlds every week, you know, and whether they choose to check it out or not, it's really up to them. But it's kind of the right, it seems like the right, like, dosage.
I don't know if I've ever told the two of you this, but I did the first radio commercial for when you had your first MP3, because my ad agency that I had for 15 years introduced eMusic to the world.
Oh, funny.
So I was handed Birdhouse in Your Soul and said, put this in a commercial by the client, right after Ryko had... So, but even back then, when we were all looking and saying, this is never gonna... Nobody's ever going to listen to music on there. Whatever.
Really? See, it's interesting you say that, because the first thing I thought of when I heard about the web was that it was, you know, I felt like it was very clear that as soon as audio could be broadcast on the web, that it would really make ownership obsolete. You know, if you could have, basically, like, if you just think of the web, I immediately thought of the web the way people, I think of the cloud, which is like this idea of like always being able to pull things in.
Yeah, it's always
and
there.
It took a long time for that to happen.
I have a historical question for both of you guys, which is, it seems to me that the e-music thing happened before the introduction of the iPod, right?
Oh, and, no, it did. It was only available available on a website, on your computer.
Which
back
kind
then.
Of implies that you'd be the idea is you'd be listening. I didn't do this myself.
It wasn't portable back then.
So you listened to it on your laptop or whatever.
That's what you did.
Like, that's what you were supposed
it
to be doing.
It wasn't portable.
People burned it as CDs, too.
That's right. You burn CDs.
Right.
I have tons of MP3 CDs.
Which, but
from
then
back
that
then.
Kind of begs the question, like, you know, so you're buying the thing in order to burn it. Print your own damn newspaper.
Yeah, yeah.
You know.
Well, it only lasted like a year. You know, I mean, you're talking about like 1999 was the e-music year.
That's right.
Napster came in like 2000.
Within seconds.
Super huge.
Yep.
Right.
And then it was the iPod came in right on the heels of that. And those, like the iPod was, you know, obviously the most game-changing thing.
But back to Dial-A-Song.
Okay.
I mean,
yep.
The other thing that is perfect for yous guys is you love doing this. You love coming up with, I mean,
well,
you know,
love is a very strong word, but
well,
but for us, I think,
but you
for
write
both
fast,
of us
though.
One thing that's always been really helpful is to have some kind of a deadline or some kind of a vehicle. And it, you know, obviously in the beginning we didn't really have a sort of a plan for a, we didn't have a record deal, so there was this idea of like there's a machine that we can feed, and that turned out to be a really fruitful impetus for
us.
But
that was the, you know, when you really think about it, what you did with Dial-A-Song and Answering Machines was like among the first social media. It really was. It was social media because people, I mean, it was a solitary experience.
It was solitary,
because,
yeah.
Although
yeah,
not
yeah.
true, because I used to put it on my speakerphone.
We didn't invent Dial-A whatnot. There were Dial-A jokes and Dial-A prayer.
Dial-A prayer
that
was my favorite.
Yeah. So that was a thing. I think,
right.
I think we kind of felt like it suited us partly because it didn't seem like some advanced thing. It was like an incredibly homely,
yeah,
like goofy kind of thing. But that we could completely control and run, and that was really the appeal.
But now it's today, and there's all this technology, and yet you've still made it available for people to pick up the phone,
yeah.
a phone, and call.
You can still call the phone.
Remember the phone?
Yes.
Yeah, I want to find a phone booth and call it, but that's a whole another. I think there's a couple.
There are. I've been seeing them on the road.
I'm going to be in New York in 3 weeks, and one of my goals is to search for.
I don't see them in New York, but I've seen them. I've seen them as we've been
in Milwaukee.
Out and about.
I'll bet in Milwaukee.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, the hinterlands.
There's actually a fantastic photograph of this storage facility in Queens that has like 500 of the telephone AT&T telephone booths of New York City. And they're just, it just, you know, it looks exactly as crazy.
You know, I was
going
to go to the Madman thing,
outside.
But I think I'm going to go to this.
It's outdoors. I mean, they're not covered.
Wow.
They're just getting rained on.
Gloves, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know when the Etsy shop opens up to sell those things because.
That is so cool.
Because they're not going to last very long. Yeah, although I guess they're built to stand up in the rain, so maybe
all the hipsters
be fine.
Have to have a payphone.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
the new thing.
I don't know if it's. I think you have to be kind of older for it to speak to you. I don't think people have sentimental ideas about payphones.
Well, Urban Outfitters.
I saw the movie Do the Right Thing.
Yeah.
And the phone in the pizza place is the payphone. I kind of forgot.
That's
like,
right.
Oh God, right. All these businesses use payphones.
That's what they had
as their phones.
But Urban Outfitters, I think, John, Urban Outfitters. Like every Urban Outfitters is like right next to the vinyl section. They could have a payphone section.
Yeah.
This could be the next big thing.
Have a record player in
and I'm going to say this with absolutely no filtering whatsoever. From moment one, it's not that you were ever, we're all the same age, and it's not like being smart business people, we're all creative people. But even when you brought this back, the whole idea of saying, okay, you can get it on the phone, you know what it's going to sound like. Even the best phone sounds like this. You can get it on the web and, you know, it's decent. But if you really want this and you really love us, but the subscription thing, really, really smart. And as I said on the air check, you didn't hear, I say it every week. I'm like, come on, kids, $30 for all those songs.
It's, you know,
that's such a deal.
It is a deal. But it's a deal, like from our perspective, I think.
But it depends on the quality of the fruit, doesn't it?
Well,
every week.
And also, like, I feel like the whole situation has changed so much in our lifetime that you know, I mean, it's people also are perfectly accepting of the idea that
everything
that they shouldn't pay
too.
For anything.
We currently have about, we've got a dozen songs or more mastered. We have to do it months in advance. I mean, one thing that's happened is that. You know, there are different parts of the sort of deadline process that get ahead of us, like, you know, trying to have any kind of visual component or trying to get it to iTunes in time, you know, which is important because we do like it when people can actually buy the stuff and not just, you know, have an excuse to pirate it. But like, it's
Groove Shark's gone. You're okay.
Yeah. Well, it's you know, it's a beautiful dying industry we're working in. But I mean, truth be told, I think we probably could do a sort of a second rate job getting to the end of the year. But because there's this sort of interval of time that we get to examine what we've got and kind of figure out what we've got, we tend to get we really want it to be. An excellent project and be something memorable. And I mean, with the first sort of blast of stuff, we really, we kind of front loaded it with like the very best material we've been working on for the previous 6 months.
But it all sounds, and again, the big difference is.
Yeah, they're not demos.
They're not demos. They're produced and it sounds good, as it should today.
Yeah.
But
I mean, well, you
in
know,
this
I'm,
world where you can produce anything on your, you know. iPod, right?
I'm sort of two minds about it because I also know that for a lot of people, like the charm of the original Dial Song Service was that it was this like very sketchy, loose, like doesn't matter that much thing. But the problem is you kind of can't, you know, you sort of can't get your virginity back. I mean, the problem is like these days when we put out a song, lots of people are paying attention, and the first thing people want to do is decide, like. All the things that it means about us as a band and our place in the world and where we're at in the culture. And it's like, so it's sort of by putting our best foot forward with just like very well put together stuff, in a way we kind of shield ourselves from,
where
I mean,
you,
even
you were reading somewhere that somebody was saying how the
versions they heard on Dial a Song and the versions that are in Glean.
Yes.
It was a big disappointment how much we'd shined up the recordings, which, in fact, they're the identical. It's the same recording. It was a mastered recording when it was
Somebody
released.
Actually said, so it's perception reality time.
Yeah.
I love it. That's great, though.
Music viewers don't get paid nearly enough to waste their time. I don't know. I mean, talk to the Black Crowes. Like I guess the Black Crowes had an album that came out that actually had not been released, and someone wrote a review of it, you know, like as if they had heard the songs, but they actually had not the songs. The album had not even been finished. They had published the titles of the songs, but they had
people
had not,
are a
they
little
had not
too
even,
obsessed, aren't
yeah.
they?
I mean, the reviewer was not like dealing with like pirated material. The reviewer was just lying. Which is kind of sad.
I know that you're saying people are disappointed that it's so well produced, but come on.
No, I'm not saying I'm not saying that nobody, the general public, like when we post the songs, they're like, wow, this song is really amazing. I'm disappointed in myself for not being more sort of laissez-faire about it. Like, I feel like it would be fun to try to be a little loose about it, but the thing is, the stakes are just a little bit higher now. Like, it's not...
Yeah.
When we were doing the Dial Song thing before, like, in the 80s and 90s, it was just, like, It did not matter that much. It just... Nothing we did mattered that much. Like, it was just a phone line, and it just went out to the people who...
And I'd say, like, it's sort of up to us in a way to decide how much it matters now. Like, we could relax a lot more about that. And...
But
I
you
mean,
don't
this
want
is one...
To.
John and I discussed this
no,
thing,
we
like...
Can't.
We will, but
I am of two minds.
All it requires is that you don't care.
Yeah.
I mean, as I was saying, you know, it's like I am really, I have very mixed feelings about it. Like, there's part of me that thinks like we should just like, you know, we should get together on a Sunday night and just like,
well, you
hash
can,
together
you can,
a song.
You can do
good,
good work either way, and it's actually just about doing a good job, like however you're doing it.
You know, the big learning, right, is that sometimes things happen really fast.
Yeah.
Right? And I certainly know, because I know when I write, you two can write a song around anything.
Yeah,
and
we've been disappointed in ourselves having spent, you know, months working on something, and, you know,
then
also,
you're like, what the heck is this?
You can do it either way. John and I did discuss this idea of, like, doing a bunch of recordings with just set up the band and play some stuff live, make up some... stuff.
Yeah,
and it doesn't
work usually. Though,
I think.
Does it?
I think
does
it? If it doesn't work, we don't have to release it. But I think it would be a welcome sort of
John,
offset of the other.
This sounds
stuff.
Like we've, this is out of the gestalt.
We've done it in the past.
Did you do it?
And when we did the venue songs thing was largely just like John and I would like one of us would like sort of sketch out an idea like on the bus before soundcheck, and then come into the band and we would do soundcheck, and then we would kind of present this thing to the band, and we would flesh it out and change it around, and you know, those songs sound, they're remarkably song-like. I mean, I think the one risk that you have to working that way, I mean, everything's tricky, you know. I mean, it's just like we could get
a lot more material done by working. And the other thing about the other thing is these guys, and we did that project in 2004. But even by that time, they were very opinionated about what a They Might Be Giants song is supposed to sound like, which was great because they were doing some of the heavy lift. They'd be like, no,
yeah,
that should be a G chord, like blah blah blah. Like, they were very
a little more interesting part
of the process. Yeah. So that was that. So we have a great machine that we have that's up and running. You know,
I think what we should do is have like a gigantic basket of like prepared lyrics for something like that.
Yeah,
I think
that
would be the key would
absolutely.
Be to have some like fun. Some kind of springboard to it. But I don't know. We should just like lighten up.
So what's really fun for me is it shows up, you know, I get it, shows up in my email, right? And despite the fact that you say well planned and well produced, come on, how many people can put out Madam I Challenge You to a Duel? How many can put out Let Me Tell You About My Operation?
I challenge any other band to put out Madam.
No,
I challenge
but my
you to
point is that as they're coming to me, right, and I just get the email and it's there, and it's like I look at the title and I put it on and I know what I'm going to get. So in the end, even if it's slicker, even if you're saying, oh, wouldn't it be nice if we went back to the way we did it, there's no way you're not going to make it a They Might Be Giants song or something that people go, What was the name of that song? You know,
I agree. As uptight as we are, I think we've tried working in a lot of other ways where you'd think it would stop sounding like us. And like, I mean, my main experience with that was working with the Dust Brothers, where we're kind of giving up a fair amount of control to these guys.
Yeah.
And it still sounds like us. So that was a very encouraging.
Yeah. Nobody can put the sound down, no matter how they adapt it. You've had so many producers over the years.
We've had good and bad, you know.
Yes, but even the bad, it still kind of goes through. So this is kind of my closer, because you had a great quote in another interview, and I was really thinking about it, because I think I'm about to turn on Tuesday 3 years older than the two of you, which is kind of crazy when you think about it, right? And it's not, you know, you look back and you're
so
like...
So 113?
113, exactly. Yeah. His quote is that when you play the older stuff, when you play Birdhouse, when you play Constantinople, that you feel like you're covering another band from the 80s that you have a very fond relationship with. Mm-hmm. I thought that was really like the most interesting way of looking back on what you're doing. But where is that division of power where you are looking back on another band that you have a relationship with? Where did that suddenly...
It wasn't all at once. I think, you know, part of it is that It's just the passage of time. There's not some specific moment. We never deliberately changed what we're doing, you know. But I think that in particular with the lyric writing, that we're now just in a different place personally.
We have come up with what I think is actually a very practical way of thinking about how our reality is. Is that, you know, there's a front row and there's like a middle rows and there's like a back row at any show, and that's true of anyone in the audience. You know, it's like there people, lots of people just want to hear familiar songs, and other people are very, very dedicated and involved. And to assume that your audience is just any of those things is a mistake. Like, there are lots of people who really, you know, many years into their career just kind of give up, and it's like they just go like, oh, everybody's the back row. And then there are other people who are so self-involved they think everybody's the front row. And I think for us it's just finding a smart balance and doing something that works on a couple of different levels, you know, delivers a satisfying show, it keeps us on our toes, and it keeps it alive. And you know, we're 33 years into it, and it's like, it's a very, you know, we're thinking about it every day and working, you know, we're really committed to this thing, and it's super fun, you know. It's super fun, but it is also like, you know, it's like
work.
It's a super fun job, which is
it's
a weird kind of thing.
Well,
to
yeah,
say.
Then pick one dial a song each that we're gonna go out of this interview with.
Oh.
One dial a song each.
Oh, you're gonna play them on the air.
Yeah.
We should play the aforementioned "Madam, I Challenge You to a Duel," just for the, you know, the sensitive side of
And how are you going to balance that out?
Well, you know, the priority track is Answer, so I've got to just
priority track.
I've got to go with the radio guys.